Conspiracy theories. Why do we look to them? Why do people want to believe there is always some dark underbelly to natural occurrences, to problems, that there's always somebody within our own backyard that may be pulling these strings and creating these destructive dynamics? Are we really in a world where our own government is constantly trying to subvert us, crush us, destroy us? Is that what you believe? I'd love to hear your opinions. I'm not taking a side either way. As I said, there are some things I need to step back from. On my show, Darkness Radio, I don't focus deeply into the conspiracy theory angle because it's so dark. It can be so twisted and make you just start to feel so uncomfortable. And maybe that's my flaw. Maybe I should be more uncomfortable. Maybe we should go on. But I'm not sure where I stand on this. I want to hear from you. Phone lines are open. You can also join me in a live chat by going to darknessradio.com. It's a free chat right on the front page. If it says it's full, just refresh your page and you'll be able to join in as a guest. Sign in and be there. You can interact with me there. You can also send me emails at dave@darknessradio.com. Conspiracy theories this evening. Simon Trinkelow, our guest. I want to find out what your thoughts are. Do you believe in conspiracy theories? Are there some that are just too over the top? Are there some you think that aren't focused enough on? We'll hear from you when we return to Coast AM. Simon Trinkelow, our guest this evening. First hour, we spent talking about his book, The New Conspiracy Handbook, From G.I. Joe to Lady Gaga, 25 Truths You Won't Find on Wikipedia. We're opening up phone lines, email, send them to me at dave@darknessradio.com. And if you're online listening, you can go to darknessradio.com and join in on our free chat. Just be respectful, be a nice part of it, and you can interact with the other listeners, you can interact with me, and we will be able to communicate throughout the show this evening. All right, from G.I. Joe to Lady Gaga, Simon, what's the conspiracy regarding Lady Gaga? I have to hear this.
This one, you know, unlike the G.I. Joe or some of the other ones that are about big world conspiracies, this one's a little simpler. If you look at especially her first album, and when she first came out, every time you saw Lady Gaga, you could never really see her full face. She always had hair covering it, a mask, makeup. And then if you were to look at her massive touring schedule, her shows required so much aerobic exercise, hours and hours on end, and then you go to the next city and you do the same thing. We started looking at it and wondering, you know, seeing as how they lip sync anyway at these types of concerts, why not have a few body doubles? Why not have a few Lady Gaga lookalikes who are also trained at dance, and you can have them come out with the wig and the makeup and the mask covering half the face? It just seems like it would make a lot more sense, and that way you could put on the entire show without the star of the show ever looking tired. And we found, looking into it, that one time Lady Gaga accidentally ran into a stage prop during one of her shows, and afterwards they announced that Lady Gaga suffered a minor concussion from that accident, and yet the show didn't stop at all, and she went on for another hour performing the same dancing routines that she does night in and night out.
Very interesting. That, you know, and if anybody was going to pull it off, a lady that's always covering her face and hiding herself, you know, this would fit into that conspiracy from the 80s with the Milli Vanilli, right? Here you have two guys that are fronts for actually a band of people that maybe weren't as video friendly looking at the time. They weren't the cut individuals that people seem to be clamoring for and prettied up people. So they ended up putting two guys in the foreground to create this image. So it would be interesting as Lady Gaga if that was the case, but definitely an interesting perspective. Let's go to a couple calls, Simon, and see what some people think around the world. We're going to go to Wild Card Line 1, Artie in New London, Connecticut. Welcome to the show. What did you want to share with us this evening?
Hi, Dave. How you doing?
Doing great. How are you?
Great. In the John Carpenter movie, Escape from New York, the president's plane, Air Force One, is hijacked, and it's flown into a skyscraper right next to the World Trade Center, and they show it from the radar perspective. Now, later on in the movie, Snake Plissken lands a glider on the World Trade Center roof. Did we give Muhammad Atta and others the idea to fly a plane into one of our buildings?
Well, I don't believe that was the first time that had been bandied about. I know even I think Tom Clancy mentions it in one of his books, where he talks about them using airplanes as bombs and flying them into buildings. And if I remember correctly, and I don't know if one of my producers can jump in my ear here if they know, or if there's any listeners that can share, I think that in one of his books he talks about targeting the World Trade Centers with airplanes, because there was a lot of hype at that time regarding the fact that were we the ones that fed that information to our enemies.
And one other quick comment. Has anyone seen Borat since the Foley beheading?
No. No. Weird point. Thanks a lot, Artie. We appreciate you tuning in. Let's go to east of the Rockies, Don in Augusta, Georgia. Welcome to Coast. What did you want to share with us?
Thanks for taking my calls, fellas. I just got a few things to talk about. The Joan Rivers incident that just happened last week or so. It's kind of odd how she was silenced just a few days after her episode on The View where she insulted the president and his wife, and then just a few days later she has to go in and have her vocal cords cut off, and then she mysteriously dies. I mean, they sure did get rid of her quick. And then at Sandy Hook, all those people who were involved with that had their mortgages paid off before the event even happened. In the space landing, they didn't have enough fuel to blast off from the moon and get back in orbit and get back with the other ship that was going faster than a bullet. So, I mean, the official story never makes any sense, if you can think for yourself. There's always been false flags and conspiracies all through history. Now people scoff at you if you talk about it, like, oh, you're a conspiracy nut. But when did they stop? We still have them. False flags, Gulf of Tonkin, Vietnam War,
9/11. Let's look at what you just brought up to me then, Don. What was the first conspiracy angle you were talking about?
The Joan Rivers thing, where she was on that show called The View, where they
right.
gossip about people, and she made some kind of disgusting comments about the president and his wife.
Joan Rivers has been doing that for the better part of her career. I think that might just be ill-timed coincidence as opposed to, a presidential murder or something involved. Now, if that was the case, literally, I can't think of a president she hasn't gone after at some point in her career, for going forward. Now, the Sandy Hook, that intrigues me a little bit. Now, I've never heard of the angle that all of the mortgages were paid off. Where do we know this to be true, Don? Where have you seen that information?
Somebody looked it up and found out that all the mortgages were paid off before the event even happened. There were no survivors, no autopsies. The whole thing was just a staged hoax.
Well, I can tell you from having friends on the ground there and very close friends that were part of that community, that was not a hoax. I'm actually very offended by the truthers who say it was nothing but crisis actors that are going out there and making these claims that nothing happened and it was a drill, just a way for our president to take away our guns. I'll never believe that. Like I said, I've got friends that were on the ground there and worked. I know police officers and paramedics and people that are forever scarred dealing with post-traumatic stress disorder because of the things they saw in that building. And people that have been taunted and harassed. And unfortunately, Don, where it comes down to when you look at these conspiracy angles, and like I asked you, where is that information? Well, somebody looked it up online. Unfortunately, the internet is fodder for whatever line of BS people want to post. And, a lot of America and a lot of the world are lazy. They read one thing and they believe it. And it's perpetrated and somebody reads it and posts it someplace else. And it just becomes truth in an urban legend style, as opposed to the reality of what was going on. I've never seen legitimate information that says that their mortgages were paid off. Now, I know that there were a lot of great organizations that stepped up afterwards to help the families, because many of them lost work, lost jobs, lost big parts of their life because of the tragedy. And I know that a lot of people were helped and subsidized by these groups that were out there raising money for them. As a matter of fact, a good friend of Coast to Coast, Jeff Belanger, a good friend of mine as well, is one of the chair people involved in raising funds for the family, and one of the charities that maintains making sure that people got the payouts to help with funeral expenses and help with maintaining bills and keeping themselves afloat while they were dealing with this tragedy. Sandy Hook, I am one that will definitely have to come out and say I don't buy into the fact that that's a conspiracy and nobody died in that case. And I would be willing to bet that there are many, many parents that would take offense at that comment as well. I don't know. Where do you stand on something like that, Simon, with the Sandy Hook elementary shooting from a few years ago, that tragedy where so many children were senselessly slaughtered? Do you believe that that took place? Do you believe that it was something that's just part of our conspiratorial fodder? Or do you believe that it was just a kid that was messed up and on too many medications that didn't work for him?
I'm largely with you. I don't believe in conspiracies where, you know, a shooting like that involves so many people. Though it would have required, like, setting up an entire town 40 years ago if you were going to fake the whole shooting. Now, as far as the connection, you know, with the shooter himself, I personally haven't seen any strong, compelling evidence of foul play or other people involved, but I would be a little more open to the idea of somebody influencing these shooters to go out and do the things that they do. I could maybe, you know, if shown the right evidence, see that, but I just can't imagine what it would take to literally, like, fake deaths.
Right, Don, and when you're looking at a case like that, Don, do you really buy into the fact that you think Sandy Hook was faked?
Well, I think it's possible because of all the other false flags, but were there any survivors? Did anybody survive, or were they all killed? I mean,
no, they were killed.
Well, Punk pulled that off and squeezed through a small window with all that guns and ammunition, and nobody stopped him, and then he had a total kill rate. It just doesn't make any sense.
Well, when you've got somebody that had the weapons that he had the contention, I think, you know, when you're in a situation, Don, too, where there's a crisis going on, it's not diehard. People don't snap to attention and begin battling and fighting a way out, or people scramble and children scream in panic and teachers throw themselves in front of children, and the kill rate's going to be easy because they're lambs. They're there for the slaughter. They're just standing there terrified or hiding in the open. So to me, I mean, the kill rate would be insanely high in that kind of situation because of the person that was doing it that had no guilt or remorse or sense of feeling towards what they were doing. It's heinous, and I believe, Don, that that speaks more to who we are as people. It's that disconnect. We can't believe. It would be much easier, Don, trust me. I would love to believe that it didn't really take place, that in our country and in our world that somebody couldn't just walk into a school senselessly and slaughter children. I would love to believe that it was some conspiratorial deal that the president was doing just to get control of our guns, because then it's one enemy to hate, not this silent enemy that we don't know where it's going to pop up next. And I think that's why so many people trend to conspiracies, because they believe that, you know, you don't want to believe that these type of monsters really exist. And to answer your other question from Artie a little bit earlier, and thanks for calling in, Don, an article here, Tim, my engineer, just shot up 4 real life events predicted by Tom Clancy, where it seems that Tom Clancy did, in fact, talk about or predict these sales. Says September 11th, in Debt of Honor, Clancy imagines a scenario where an economic dispute between the United States and Japan boils over into a military conflict. Though recurring hero Jack Ryan is able to outmaneuver the ruling Japanese cabal, the conflict results in the death of a Japan air pilot's son and brother. The pilot, driven insane with grief, flies his Boeing 747 into the U.S. Capitol during a joint session of Congress. So that was in there. Now, did that inspire him? Was it other pop culture references? The other thing to consider, right, Simon, is the fact that we had our own people out there training a lot, you know, Osama bin Laden and so many of these other people. And it's not to say that maybe we didn't give them ideas on that type of guerrilla warfare when we were training them on how to do what they were doing to take back and protect their own rights.
Yeah. You never really know how much is coincidence, how much is connected, and how much is simply if we had a vulnerability in our defenses, it's probably not surprising that more than one person might have thought of it. When you were giving that list of examples, one that I remember is that the X-Files show had a very short-lived spinoff, and the pilot episode of that involved somebody using a remote control to take over an airplane and fly it into the Trade Center. So that would be another example of kind of, I guess, you know, fiction predicting the truth. Somebody wrote a book about the Titanic sinking essentially a year or two before the actual thing happened. Sometimes it's hard to explain these coincidences.
Looking at it through the eyes of an attorney and trying to make sense sometimes where there is no sense to be made, why do you think that we make illogical jumps to logical, or what people believe to be logical moments? I mean, like the caller, Don, just talking about Sandy Hook, thinking there's too many red flags. I can't see where those red flags are really substantiated. It's a lot of hearsay and a lot of, well, there's a guy online who posted this. But who is the guy online that posted it? Where did they get that information? Why do you think people are willing to make that leap? Do you think it's, as I said, they just want to believe that there's not that kind of faceless animal in our crowd that could just slip in and out and do that kind of damage in one shooting? Or try to make sense for it for me as an attorney.
Well, I think that sort of thing happens not just for conspiracy theories, that we all like to think that we're rational, reasonable people, and it's everyone else who's crazy. But when it all boils down to it, you see it in politics with the right and the left. People always will take what they already believe, and they're going to focus on that and believe it and call that reason no matter what the actual facts are. And I would put forward that there's people on the other side of conspiracy theories that no matter how much evidence you show them that the so-called official story is not true, they're not going to believe it. And so it's probably not surprising that there are some people who will cling to any conspiracy theory.
All right, and the episode, the TV series, a spinoff, was the Lone Gunman pilot episode of the TV series. It was a spinoff from the X-Files that you brought up a little bit earlier. We're talking conspiracy theories. Phone lines are open. You can email me if you have things that you want to share at dave@darknessradio.com. You can also join in our live chat at darknessradio.com. If you've missed any part of tonight's show, don't worry. Here's what you can do. Go to coasttocoastam.com. Become an insider. For about 15 cents a day, it gives you archives going back 5 years where you can hear some of the most amazing guests, do some of the most amazing interviews. You also have access to the news. You have access to one-on-one chats with George Norrie and some of the other guests that you hear on the show. Go check it out, coasttocoastam.com. Become an insider today, and you'll see why we are the number one overnight talk radio show in the world. We've got more to discuss. We've got more conspiracies all coming up here on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. If you enjoy the strange and bizarre, then join me Monday through Friday on Darkness Radio. We're on from 9 p.m. until midnight Central Time. You can listen live just by going to darknessradio.com. You can also find our archives there. And if you're listening live on the iHeartRadio application from our website, just stay tuned, because as soon as Darkness Radio is off, you can continue your journey with George Norrie and Coast to Coast AM. Tonight, we're exploring conspiracy theories. Simon Trinculo, our guest this evening. We're taking calls, emails, and boy, we seem to have picked a couple of nerves. We'll be getting to those right after this. Welcome back to Coast AM. I'm your host this evening, Dave Schrader. I'll be back tomorrow night when my guest is Adam Bly. Angels versus Demons. We'll be hearing real-life encounters with angels and possession, oppression, and more tomorrow night with our guest Adam Bly. I hope that you'll join me for that show as well. Tonight, conspiracy theories. Simon, let me ask you real quickly. We have a guest in my chat room who, Sheila Gasly, I believe is her name, and she's wondering, did she misunderstand the theories that you cover in your book? These aren't theories that you created, are they? They're not conspiracy theories that you invented. These are conspiracy theories that have been floated out there, and you're just looking at the validity of them and presenting them as a case?
This first book that we've been talking about so far, these are 25 unique theories. You know, I don't want to say I invented them, because we rely only on, you know, documented evidence. We don't use like what you were talking about, like internet rumor. We stick to good sources. And yes, as far as I know, they are completely unique, and my book is the only place you'll see them.
Right, and with this, too, I want listeners to understand, when you're presenting these cases, I'm just curious, as an attorney, and I don't know what type of law you practice, do you believe that the evidence that you have put together on each one of these cases could be presented in court and be looked at with legitimacy, or do you think they would still be on too fringe to legitimately prosecute or for courts to take a solid look at?
That's a very interesting question. From the legal perspective, it does not take an awful lot of evidence to get your foot in the door. You know, that's why a lot of times you'll see outrageous headlines. So-and-so sued for this crazy thing, and people overreact. Well, you can sue for about anything. And I would be very interested in some of these theories if you could get your foot in the legal door. That opens up discovery, it opens up depositions, it opens up subpoenas. So it's not a matter of you couldn't go with just a chapter of my book and win a court case, but it would be enough to go out there and get some real solid evidence.
All right, let's go back to a couple more callers here. Wildcard Line 3, Mark, Westlake, Oregon, you're on the air.
Hey, good evening, Dave. Good evening, Simon. I have actually just a couple of quick facts to mention, and then I'd like to get to the main body of my call, which I think you'll find it's really earth-shaking evidence. You speak of evidence. The phrase conspiracy theory was actually, and you can research this on the internet and find it fairly easy in declassified documents. In 1969, the CIA came up with the phrase conspiracy theory and planned for it to, at that time forward, be implemented into the societal jargon by means of the media in this country. And it has been done over, you know, the last 45 years or so. So it's ingrained into our conscious, subconscious states of mind. It has significance. And it's used to actually, as the CIA said, they were using it to cover up any real conspiracies. So if you think about what I just said, I think you'll, just out of the phrase conspiracy theory, which has been very relevant to your conversation tonight, it's often, most always, if not always, used to actually cover up true facts, which would have some very deleterious effects upon those who wield the power and their minions in this country and in this world. Now, by the way, Joan Rivers had said that, referred to Michelle Obama as a transsexual person. She used the phrase tranny. And there has been a good bit of talk about that just here and there, and her real name is Michael Obama and such like this, but who knows. And also Frank Keating, who was the governor of Oklahoma, had a brother, Frank Keating was the brother of the governor of Oklahoma at the time of the Oklahoma City bombing, and he wrote a book, and this is another fact that you can follow right up on, and I can't recall the title, but his name is Frank Keating, K-E-A-T-I-N-G, and he wrote a book that actually described the whole Oklahoma City bombing sometime before the actual day of the event. And it was a work of fiction, just as Simon mentioned earlier, that there was a book written about the Titanic. I believe it was called The Titan, and it was uncannily similar. Now, the biggest fact, gentlemen, that I have here for you, really, is you can go onto the Internet, and I've heard the recording. It's there, and it's all fact. But on May 22nd, 2003, in testimony before the 9/11 Commission, Norman Moneta, M-O-N-E-T-T-A, the Secretary of Transportation for the United States of America, he testified that he was in the bunker on the day of the 9/11 attacks in the company of Dick Cheney, who was running the attacks. And he personally witnessed in interchanges on at least three or four occasions when the distance out of various planes, as well as what was purported to be a plane that came into the Pentagon, which was actually a Global Hawk missile about the size of a Piper cup. But at any rate, he was running the stand down operation. He had taken authority to actually control Strategic Air Command and have the total say so himself as to whether planes would actually be attacked or not attacked and brought down before they hit their targets. And he was running that stand down operation. This is part of the information that came out early out of the 9/11 Commission that really made any difference. Six of the 12 lawyers, Simon, you'd be particularly interested to know, including the head lawyer, said that it was all a sham and that the American people did not get the truth, nor did they get all of the true facts that were brought out in the 9/11 Commission, such as Mr. Mineta's testimony. So I think if you look at this testimony by a highly credible witness, that what you get is a key to the inside this country job done by very high levels of the administration, as well as the intelligence agencies and the FBI, and research will bear all of this out, and it's all available by now. It's been well accumulated. The other side of 9/11.
Mark, let me ask you a quick question. Mineta, is he still alive, Mineta?
You know, I'm not sure, Dave, but it's totally verified and documented, and you can actually get the recording up on the Internet.
Hold tight for a second. Simon, are you familiar with Mineta? Is he still alive?
I know the testimony he's talking about. It was under oath, an open Congress, I believe. What's happened to him after that should be easy to look up.
Right. I'm just curious if he is still alive, because wouldn't it be interesting? He's still alive, yet a whistleblower about one of the most tragic events in America's history, yet we believe that Joan Rivers was silenced for calling Michelle Obama a tranny.
If anyone, if making fun of the president and his wife was the last thing you could do before they took you out, then I think we would have about half the country missing at this point.
Right, yeah, it definitely falls in there. Mark, thank you for the enlightenment and the information on that. We'll do a little research here as well to see if Mineta is still alive. And the reason I asked you, Simon, I know you've got another book, which we're going to discuss in the next hour, about 31 suspicious suicides, and I didn't know if that might be one of the cases that you covered in the book.
No, not him, but there are several government officials and whistleblowers who died very mysteriously.
You know, it's interesting. People are bringing up, you brought up the book about Titan. He brought up the book, Tom Clancy stuff. And, you know, some of these things were in the Oklahoma bombing. Some of these pieces were out there. When you talk to some of the authors that write books, they will tell you that sometimes they feel like a vessel and these words come into them and they're able to type these out. Does it mean that they are getting the information from the Akashic records? And, you know, if time is not linear and they're open to this as kind of a muse, they're drawing this information from somewhere, these ideas. You know, you often wonder, are they really, it's kind of the chicken or the egg theory. Which came first? The idea that was floating out there that they may have picked up from the ether from a future event that was going to scar the universe and would be something that would be easy to relate back into to novel form? Or did they, in fact, give the idea to the perpetrators to create these things? Now, you know, where does one beget the other? That's where I think is a fascinating discussion to have as well. Let's let me check here. Yeah, we've got some time. Let's go to wildcard line four, Carlos in Carson, California. Welcome to the show. What did you want to share with us?
Well, listen, once you see the same families over decades and hundreds of years impacting world politics and world events, world economics, to me, that's a conspiracy. Let me give you an example here. There are certain historians that relate that there was a meeting in 1773 led by Amschel Rothschild, the leading banker of the time, consolidating various industrialists in Europe to create a world government. And one of the methods to create a world government was to find it, to stir up conflicts between and animosities between different groups and finance both sides of each struggle, finance wars. And of course, the debt accrued from these wars would accumulate and bankrupt nations, which would then give them power to take over the assets of all of these countries. And when you start looking at history and you see the Rothschilds, for instance, involved in the financing of the French Revolution, the Napoleonic Wars, the Wars of 1812, are financing both sides of the Civil War through Auguste Beaumont and Judah Benjamin, and then using its agents, Jacob Schiff and Warburg and some other people out of Wall Street to finance the Communist Revolution and finance First World War. They're using the Rockefellers and so on and on and on in perpetuity, including, you know, our debacle here that we have with the economic collapses. And when you see all this inflationary periods and then the deflationary periods, and you see the same bankers and the deflation is taking over the assets of all these countries, as it happened in the early 1800s here, where the first bank of the United States owned by the Rothschilds was financing activities. And soon thereafter, there would be inflation and all that. Everybody would buy and everything. And then all of a sudden, they would start dipping and then collapsing the economy. And then they would take over the assets, real estate of all the people losing, and continuing that time and time and time again. When you see those trends, and you cannot help but realize that, hey, there is some meat to this. And you see our world continually being enslaved further and further and further. All the laws that are being passed here, the National Defense Authorization Act, the Patriot Act, the Military Commissions Act, all these acts that happen where crises are created, where the Rothschilds were born on 9/11. You see, wait a minute. We start connecting all these guys to say that this is not an accident. This is real, no matter how preposterous, absurd, outrageous they may sound.
I agree with you completely, Carlos, that there are cases like that is very conceivable, and there are threads that you can pull that pull these stories together. I'm not saying I don't believe in conspiracy theories. I want you to know that. I believe that there are definitely some dark threads that tie our country and together with very powerful families, very powerful conglomerates around the world to alter and change things. I mean, you know, on a very small scale subject, talking about conspiracy theories, you know, it's like these electronic cigarettes, you know, that people are smoking that are reportedly healthier for them. They don't cause pollutant smoke and nasty secondhand smoke. Yet now they're being outlawed as though they're some kind of designer drug. They're being kept from people using them in public places, even in public parks, places like that. And you see that it's got to be a push behind big tobacco, which is losing major money doing these electronic cigarettes. So, you know, I can see where there are some conspiracy theories that seem to fold into place nicely and do make sense that there is somebody behind this. I just wonder if, as people, we jump to conclusions too easily to believe that a conspiracy is behind everything. Sometimes I think, you know, a cigar is just a cigar. Sometimes bad things happen just because there are bad people in the world, and it doesn't necessarily mean that there was some grand scheme behind everything that we encounter in our life. Carlos, thank you for calling in and being a part of the show. And as I said, I agree with you. I believe that there's a lot of that going on. Questions pouring in from the chat room on my Facebook page and so on. Just out of curiosity, Simon, what type of law do you practice?
I largely work with zoning and property issues, some mortgage issues. not things that would really relate to this conversation. And I should add that I like to keep those two aspects of my life separate, and nothing I say here should be taken to be legal advice in any way.
Oh, and I understand that. I think people are just curious as to where you come down. But, you know, as an attorney, you're adept at gathering information, making a case for what you're presenting, and putting that out for people to review and discuss. We've got, I'm trying to look here. I think we've got enough time to squeeze in another quick call. Let's go to Wildcard Line 5, right in my own backyard. Kevin in St. Paul, Minnesota. Welcome to Coast to Coast.
Yeah, hey, guys. Thank you. Nice to talk to you. I really think you're hitting on an extremely serious issue here tonight, and it goes way beyond something that's just interesting or entertaining. You know, this goes to the entire way that we see our lives and the entire way that we see our country and our government, frankly. And it's so tough because multiple theories about multiple different conspiracies and multiple different possible conspiracies just, you know, take us off in a million different directions, and, you know, you get the whole tin hat thing coming down. Really, there's only two things, two possibilities when it comes to conspiracies. You can boil it right down. It's things are either true or they're lies. If they're true, that's what we have always kind of assumed, that our government was a government of truth, that we had a country of truth, that we as free people were able to control our government and our lives because we had the truth. The other possibility is they're lies. And conspiracies represent those lies. One, we have control. One, we do not. You don't have to prove any particular theory about a conspiracy to establish the fact that the conspiracy exists. All you have to prove is that the lie exists. All you have to prove with the Kennedy assassination is that Oswald was not the single and only gunman. Everything else after that, once you've established that he was not, everything else proves that there is a conspiracy. Whether we know who actually did it, how it was done, you know, ultimately who the players were, what the motivations were, that doesn't matter. All you have to know is that Oswald was not the only player and that our government intentionally lied to us to make us think that he was.
Kevin, really quickly, do you believe then that the government is responsible for filtering out all of the different conspiracy theories, that they're the ones pushing the agenda so that it gives us reasonable doubt in many different directions to almost question that the conspiracy theory itself may not exist?
I think the government is responsible for that, absolutely. Once they take on an issue and we have congressional investigations into things and they come out with papers that purport to tell us what did or did not happen, yes, they absolutely do have responsibility at that point to be telling us the absolute 100% truth without any coloring.
All right. Thank you, Kevin. We have to go to the top of the hour break. I appreciate that. Simon Trinculo, our guest. In the next hour, the new conspiracy handbook presents 31 suspicious suicides. We'll talk with our guest about that. We'll continue taking your calls and filtering them out throughout the rest of the evening. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more Coast to Coast AM right after this.